Time now for The World That Was, and a look at the history behind one of this week's bigger news stories. Vice President Joe Biden's trip to Asia has been dominated by tensions in the region. Tensions over China's newly declared air defense zone in the East China Sea. Japan, South Korea, and the U.S. are all challenging the zone, and there are fears of an accidental military clash. The Chinese declaration is just the latest move by Beijing to assert its sovereignty over the seas it shares with its neighbors. It's been using other methods as well, including one you might not expect. The world's history man, Chris Wolfe, is here to tell us about it. Chris, what is it?
Archaeology. Underwater marine archaeology, to be precise.
Right. And like, what are we talking about? What kinds of things are they laying claim to?
Well, China has a spectacular and largely unknown maritime history. China wants to make that better known, and it's trying to substantiate that with archaeological evidence. For example, these islands that are disputed called Senkaku in Japan and Diaoyu in China. They hope that they can prove that they were first occupied by Chinese naval forces as a base versus Japanese pirates back in the 16th century, you know, to try and establish a claim of historic sovereignty, that kind of thing.
16th century, I see a world that was.
Yeah, China has a very schizophrenic relationship with the sea, kind of a love-hate relationship, and also what the sea means in terms of relations with the outside world. Over 3,000 years of history, it's had episodes of total isolationism, turning its back on the sea, literally removing everybody who lives within 10 or 20 miles of the sea on pain of death. And at other times, it's had episodes of widespread engagement, exploration, and trade. More commonly, it's been something in between. And right now, it's in one of those episodes of engagement. So they're now trying to summon up the spirit of a 15th century Ming explorer, a guy called Chong He, who led spectacular expeditions to the Middle East and Africa, bringing back all kinds of tribute for the emperor from all corners of the world. And tribute, obviously, representing a kind of a submission to Beijing.
Chris, though, I'm still not quite understanding how, like, the Chinese going underwater and digging around old sunken ships and treasure can actually help with their cause.
Well, luckily for me, the guy who first documented this Chinese policy is with us right now. Marco, say hi to Dr. Jeffrey Adams, an independent expert in international archaeological heritage management.
Hello, Dr. Adams.
Hello.
Hey, so Jeff, how does this work? Can you give us an example of how the Chinese government's directing its maritime archaeology?
Sure. The Chinese program has multiple political dimensions, but as regard the South China Sea conflicts, the incident that was recently documented involved their interception of a Philippine archaeological vessel operating in the vicinity of the Scarborough Shoals. And the Chinese authorities claimed that the Philippine vessel did not have authority to be examining underwater wrecks in that area because China claims ownership of all such wrecks. It has to do with protecting what they consider to be evidence for longstanding Chinese occupation, which would thereby demonstrate their sovereignty over the islands.
Jeff Adams, how much does China rely on archaeology as a kind of political tool?
Well, it's astounding relative to past examples in other countries. I've identified basically four different ways they use underwater archaeology for political purposes. First, by celebrating their maritime golden age and their great Admiral Zheng He, they reflect and reinforce the sense of nationalism for domestic audience. They also peddle the image of Zheng He as an iron fist in a velvet glove as part of their soft power efforts toward promoting themselves culturally for foreign audiences to both reassure them and signal China's intentions. And then thirdly, via commercialism, by providing the raw material for tourism and exhibits, and also by partnering with Chinese technological and industrial concerns, the government, by fostering those efforts, promotes itself. But then fourthly, it's used as a hard power tactic, both as regards the evidence for territorial claims in the South China Sea, but also as a pretense for conducting surveillance operations and enforcement of their claims.
So, Jeff, that must cost them an awful lot of money.
It does. I'm not able to do the accounting to find out how much, but hundreds of millions of dollars and far more than is spent in any other country that I'm aware of.
Jeffrey Adams, an independent expert in international archaeological heritage management. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
And Chris Wolfe, the world's history guy, thanks very much.
You're welcome.